Cast away from you all the crimes you have committed, says the Lord, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to the disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they do not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries. They lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, 'Rabbi.' As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher. You're all brothers. Call no one on earth your father, you have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master, for you have one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Come now, let us set things right. God says to Isaiah, to the people of Israel, and says today to the people of Lafayette. His insistent call to conversion. Isaiah was sent to announce these words to everybody, but he invoked particularly Sodom and Gomorrah, those two most infamously sinful places in history. He said that mercy is available even for them, but they've got to act. Let's get things right. He says, "Wash yourselves clean, put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Stop doing evil, learn to do good. Make your ambition justice. Redress the wrong, hear the plea of the orphan, defend the widow." All types of actions that get us essentially to learn truly how to love our neighbor. And then, filled with hope, God announces through Isaiah, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they will become as white as snow. Though they may be crimson red, they may become white as wool, if you're willing and obey." You know, there's a sense, and it's infiltrated various aspects of Protestant theology, the justification or the salvation of someone, the initial salvation is when God rains down snow on a dung heap. Still dung underneath, but it's now just covered with white, and the landfill looks like a mountain that's beautiful. That's never been the Catholic understanding. Catholic understanding is God just doesn't cover our sinfulness. He transubstantiates it. He changes it. I call it the fertilizer principle. Taking what's bad and making it a source of new growth. That's what God actually wants to do with our sins, no matter how crimson or scarlet they are. We've got to participate in that. And how does he actually do it? The book of Revelation tells us. Describes the symbolic number of 144,000 dressed in white, following the Lamb wherever they go. And it says that their garments were washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. That the detergent that's able to change scarlet into brilliant white is the blood of Jesus. the power of the sacraments, God's own life within us. That's the way we are able to wash ourselves clean. Otherwise, we're like Macbeth's wife. We're not going to be able to scrub the stuff off our hands. But with Christ, He'll do that work, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Today in the Gospel, Jesus wants to call us to a particular type of conversion. He begins 35 scathing verses against the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. And we shouldn't give in to the temptation that he was just talking about some hypocrites 2,000 years ago. What happened to the scribes and the Pharisees is the perennial temptation for all religious believers who start focusing on outward things rather than inside. So Jesus points out, don't follow their example. They preach, but they don't live what they preach. They tie up heavy burdens on others, but don't lift a finger to try to help somebody conform their lives to the challenges of faith. Why not? Because Jesus says they do everything to be seen. They're not doing it out of love for God or even love for others. They're faking the love of God and others out of self-love. They just want others to lift them up. Jesus described some of the things which were real for them. They widen their phylacteries, those pieces, those boxes that they would hang on the locks of their hair containing passages of sacred scripture. They widen them so that everybody will see, oh, look at how holy he is. They put the tassels on their garments, which are supposed to remind them of various parts of the Mosaic Law. Look how holy she is. They love places of honor at banquets and in synagogues and in marketplaces. And they're always seeking after titles. Rabbi. Rabbi means my great one in Hebrew. What if somebody were coming up to you all the time and saying, my great one? From human vanity, it might be great. But at the level of the gospel, think about it. If we're really humble, that would be almost an insult. They don't really see the real one. Call no one on earth your father. We call lots of people on our father. We call our dad's father. We call priest's father. Why isn't this a violation of the gospel? St. Paul tells us in his third chapter of his letter to Ephesians. Because we bow before the Father from whom every fatherhood on earth takes its name. We've got to remember that God is the source of all fatherhood, physical and spiritual. Take that seriously. And then third, call no one your master because you have one master, the Christ. What was the essential problem for them? They were trying to take God's place. God the Father's place, Christ the Master's place, the Holy Spirit, the teacher slash guide's place. They were trying to usurp not just Moses' seat without the humility that characterized Moses. They were trying to displace God and become like gods in others' estimation, no matter how many outward acts of worship they claim to be doing for the one true God. We need to learn from the Lord how to love Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to live in that life, and to show others by our example how to do so. The ones who have done this par excellence are the saints. Today we celebrate St. Cyril of Jerusalem, the great 4th century teacher of the faith. St. Cyril was one who constantly tried to help the people of his day come to the true faith. His catechesis helped new Christians, formed catechumens, in order to walk the walk, in order to allow themselves to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, in order to practice what they preach. His greatest teaching of all, his most famous teaching, was about the Eucharist. He said, Jesus says this is his body. How can we doubt him? He says that this is his blood. How could we ever think otherwise? He tried to bring people here to the source of that washing, to that great detergent that Christ gives us out of love, in order perpetually to return our souls to that splendid white we received the day we were baptized. Today, through St. Cyril's intercession, let us ask the Lord for that grace about which he preached and that grace he always practiced, so that we, like him, may bring many people to the Lord. Today, even if our sins be like scarlet, they can be totally transformed. And that's what Jesus wants to do in us today at Mass and throughout this Lenten journey. Praise be Jesus Christ.